Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our service today. Our service is going to be led by Mark. So having said welcome to everybody, I will hand over to Mark for him to lead our service. Over to you, Mark.
Thank you, Adrian. And good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be joining everyone again today. And I hope this morning is going to be a service of encouragement to everyone. I'm going to begin by reading Psalm 100, which is one of my favourite psalms for starting worship. Shout with joy to the Lord, all you earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that he is the Lord, the God. He made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. So we thank the Lord for those words for us this morning as we begin by singing our first hymn. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow.
Oh,
And let's pray, shall we, together. Father God, we thank you that we have the joy of worship this morning, that we have the privilege of coming before your throne and praising the name of Jesus. We thank you that we have the freedom to make that choice, and that we're not restricted by the culture we live in to, or the legislation around us to hide away. And if we could, we'd be out in the open, extolling the name of Jesus and worshiping him this morning. We come from our own individual situations and gather in your name, Lord. We come to confess that you are Lord. We come to confess that you are our Saviour, and to enthrone you in our hearts, to name you as our captain, and allow your will to enfold us. Thank you, Lord, that you accept us, accept our worship from wherever we are, how close or far we feel from you today. And we ask you, Lord, to bring us closer to your throne, to your grace, to enfold us once more in your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And then on the same theme, honouring the name of Jesus, we'll sing our next song. Jesus is the name we honour. Jesus is the name we praise. Thank you.
Jesus is the name we honor. Jesus is the name we praise. Majestic name above all other names. The highest heaven and earth proclaim that Jesus is our God. We will glorify, we will lift to high, we will give him honor and praise. We will glorify, we will lift to high, we will give him honor and praise.
Jesus is the name we worship. Jesus is the name we trust. He is the King above all other kings. Let all creation stand and sing that Jesus is our God.
We will glorify, we will lift him high, we will give him honor and praise. We will glorify, we will lift him high, we will give him honor and praise.
Jesus is the Father's splendor. Is the Father's joy. He will return to reign in majesty, and every eye at last will see that Jesus is our God.
We will glorify.
Catherine's now going to bring us reading from the book of Ezekiel. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'd like to read from Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 to 16, and then following on through 20 to 24. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As shepherds look after their scattered flocks when they are with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away, I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken.
Thank you, Catherine. So you won't be surprised at my next choice of hymn based on Psalm 23. To continue the theme of the shepherd and the sheep. The Lord's my shepherd.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul, and I will trust in you. And I will trust in you. Your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me on. He guides my ways in righteousness, and He anoints my head. And I
your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home.
More encouragement now from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians, which Norma will bring to us now. Thank you, Norma.
Ephesians 23. Thanksgiving and prayer. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Amen.
Thank you, Norma. So we've heard this morning three passages from Scripture. We began with Psalm 100. Catherine then brought us those sections from the prophet Ezekiel. And we just heard part of the opening chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And looking at these passages today as preparation for today's service, I've been amazingly encouraged at some of these words from the Lord. And I want to share some of that encouragement with you this morning. I think this is something we really need at the moment, isn't it? COVID dominates our lives still and will for quite a while yet. And yes, there is light at the end of the tunnel with the vaccines that are being developed, and we just pray that they will be right and those that need them most will be able to receive them. In the meantime, we wait. And I don't know about you, but I'm not very good at waiting. I get quite twitchy when I'm waiting. And as you may know, Alison and I are planning to move house and we're in the process of waiting. This week we had a bit of a disappointment that things are going to be delayed. So we'll be with you certainly until sometime in January, and we hope no longer than that before we make our move to Harborough. This week we've needed to trust and to recognise that if God's got this plan for us, then he will see it through. So we've needed encouragement. And I'd just like really to go through some of these verses and share some of what the Lord has said to me this week. Psalm 100. It's a psalm of praise. It's a psalm encouraging those of us to worship. It's a psalm which reminds us in that last verse that the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. So it's not just something which is for them in the past, not just something for us today, but it's something that continues throughout time and into eternity. The Lord's goodness never fails and is there for us at the time, at all times. A passage from the book of Ezekiel. I don't know when I last preached on Ezekiel. I can't remember. Maybe a while before, since you've heard a sermon based on passages from the prophet Ezekiel. It's quite a hard passage, quite a hard prophet, actually, because he's very critical of the religious leaders of the day, the bad shepherds of Israel who've taken the people along the wrong path. But this passage that we heard talks about the sovereign Lord as the good shepherd, the one who seeks out the lost, the one who provides protection, the one who leads us to good pasture. And of course, in the context of the day when these words were spoken and written, this was the people of Israel, God's chosen people. But I always think of God's chosen people today as his church. We read in the New Testament that we are the royal priesthood, the holy nation, the people belonging to God. So any time God blesses Israel in the Old Testament, he's blessing us today as his believers, as his church, living out our lives at this present time. So that's you and that's me, rescued and brought back to him, the Good Shepherd. And of course, the words are echoed in Psalm 23, probably more familiar than the passage from Ezekiel, version of which we sang earlier. In John's Gospel, the Good Shepherd is referred to in chapter 10, and in Jesus' own parable of the lost sheep, we reflect on that in Luke chapter 15 as well. So this is a familiar theme, even to us townies who have never been involved in shepherding the real sheep or been involved in agriculture. We understand what the basic relationship between the shepherd and the sheep is. So these Old Testament passages, we see the sovereign Lord at work as the protector, as the one who is faithful. And at difficult times, at difficult periods of life, we need to be reminded of God's unfailing love in uncertain times. When doubts linger, disappointment casts a shadow. Yes, the Lord is good, and he is our God, our protector, and our provider. Let me just read a couple of those verses from Ezekiel again to remind us. For this is what the Lord, the sovereign Lord, says: I myself will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places to which they were scattered on that dark and cloudy day. We thank the Lord for those words. So let's move on to the New Testament, to this letter to the Ephesians, which is full of encouragement. And let's widen our perspective and bring us further forward into God's purposes and God's plan for humanity. This, I hope, will give us a deeper insight into God's love and grace and our part in the story of salvation. That passage begins by words from the Apostle Paul to the church. And yes, that's you, that's me. For prayers for the church in Ephesus are, in God's purposes, prayers for us today, for there's no time in the kingdom. It's not a linear thing, as we understand from moving from one day to another. So Paul's prayers to the Lord, written in the first century, are for us as well. In the translation that I've been looking at, this is which is the New Living Translation, there's a wonderful expression which I want to share with you. The NIV, which Norma read from, talks about us being enlightened. But this is the translation I've looked at this week. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for Christians everywhere, I've never stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. This is the verse which has really struck me this week. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the wonderful future he has promised to those he called. Isn't that wonderful to think of being our hearts being flooded with God's light so that he can reveal himself and come closer to us, to that future, that wonderful future that he's promised us to. And the next section, I want you to realize what a rich and glorious inheritance he has given to his people. A rich and glorious inheritance. Now we think of inheritance and we think of family. So we're now no longer just sheep in the sheepfold with the shepherd protecting and providing for us. We're now part of God's family. We've been brought into the family of God by Christ himself, our brother, who wants us to be really close to God the Father. So this takes us into a completely new dimension, this concept of being worthy of an inheritance, of God's blessing passing down from one generation to another. To me, that's really special to think that our hearts are flooded with light so we can understand that and we can come close to God as our Father, as sisters and brothers together. Verses 19 and 20 give us another wonderful few words of encouragement. I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of his power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honour at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. The power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God that raised Christ from the dead is at work in us, in the world, and in the church today. That power of the resurrection is available to you and to me, to us. And I find that gobsmacking to think of that, which is previously used for creative purposes to fling stars into space and create supernova and the beauty of a daffodil or a rose, the beauty of you and me. That power is now ready for us to tap into. So this week, these days where we're in a period of international crisis in our families and in our communities, what can that do to us today to give us something to take into this week to come and beyond? Firstly, I think the knowledge that we belong to the family of God, our loving, faithful God, that he has rescued us, not just from the perils of this life, but for eternity, And once again, that the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead is present and available to us, the church, his body, today. These guarantees, these promises that we trust in, mean that even when the storm clouds gather, we have a hope that is steadfast and certain, that the sovereign Lord is acting for good. Yesterday, today, and for all our tomorrows. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we find it hard to take in the reality of you flooding our hearts with that light of the gospel, in order that the power that raised Jesus from the dead might be released into our lives, into the lives of those we come across. But today, Lord, even though we may not understand fully, even though we may be timid in our acceptance of that power within us, we thank you that you are a sovereign God who is good, who's working his purposes out through our lives, through the lives of his body, the church. And we say, Lord, we thank you that we're part of that. We thank you that we are your children, made worthy by your sacrifice to inherit the riches, the glorious riches of this inheritance to which you have called us. And we pray this morning that we will be worthy indeed of that inheritance, of that trust that you have placed in us, as we trust you as our Father, our Shepherd, our Protector, but also the one who gives us power to not just follow, but to make things happen for good in the world around us. So take our lives, Lord. Be our guide and our vision, as we're encouraged and uplifted by your Holy Spirit today. We thank you, Lord, and we pray in the glorious name of Jesus. Amen. So as we go forward, we sing to God that he might be our vision. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart.
Yeah.
Paul's now going to lead us in our prayers of intercession. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Mark. Let's just be still now and just spend some time just bringing our concerns and our needs before God at this time. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that for that picture, Lord, that we've had this morning of you as our shepherd, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the one Lord who is the carer and protector of the sheep. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you've reminded us that you have our very best interests at heart, and you want the very best, Father, for us as your flock. And Lord, as we bring our prayers to you this morning, we just ask that we might just hold one another up, Lord. This is not just my prayer, Lord, but I just pray that it's the prayer of us all, that we might join together as one in bringing you our concerns this morning. Father, we thank you that you take us through difficult times sometimes. And as we look around our world at the moment, Lord, we can see that we are living in difficult times. Times, Father, which are hard to interpret, hard to understand. Father, we pray, Lord, for those who are suffering, Lord, in many parts of the world at the moment. Not just from illness and disease, Father, but those, Lord, that are suffering from lack of food, lack of housing, Father, those who have lost their jobs and have financial problems, those, Father, who have no freedom at all, Lord, those Christians, Lord, that have having to worship in secret. Father, we just pray, Lord, for those, Father, who are feeling very isolated at the moment. We pray, Father, that they might hear your voice, the voice of the shepherd speaking to them, encouraging them, just giving them, Lord, a word, Lord, that they might need. Father, all of us need encouragement. And Lord, sometimes it's just a word, Father, that can cheer us up and just help us, Lord, upon the next step of our way. Father God, we pray for those things that are a bit closer to home for us. We pray, Lord, for the fellowship, Lord, that we are in. And Lord, we pray particularly for those at this time that are finding life a struggle at the moment. Her father of many people, Lord, that are feeling quite alone at the moment. Very down, Lord, because of the situation. Lord, the lack of contact with friends and family. We just pray, Lord, that you might be with those people at this time. We pray too, Lord, for those who have lost their jobs, those, Father, that are finding it difficult, Lord, to pay the bills and to just to keep things going, Lord, to keep a roof above their head. We think of all those businesses, Father, that have been affected, Lord, in the last few months. And we just pray, Lord, for those who own the businesses and those who were employed. And we pray, Father, that you might be with them at this time. For those, Lord, who are unwell, those who are just finding things difficult, Father, at the moment, Lord, speak to them. May they hear, Lord, your shepherd's voice speaking and encouraging them at this time. And finally, Lord, we just pray for ourselves as your church. Lord, you often describe the church as your flock, as a gathering, Father, of your people from different lands and different backgrounds and different nations, Father. And we look forward, Father, to that time when all nations, Lord, will be gathered together when you return. But Lord, at the moment, we're a church that's persecuted, a church, Lord, that's undergoing difficulty and trials and tribulations. And we just ask, Lord, that you might encourage us in these dark times, that we might know, Father, that you are here, that you are working out your purposes, and that your plans, Lord, at the end of the day will be fulfilled, that your kingdom, Lord, will come on earth as it is in heaven. I want to pray particularly, Lord, at the moment for churches that are struggling. I heard, Lord, that a number of churches are finding their finances quite difficult at the moment and might have to let their ministers go, Lord. I just pray for them, Lord, and for other smaller churches, Father, that don't have the benefit that we have of being able to meet on Zoom week by week. We just pray for them, Lord, and just ask, Lord, to uphold them. We pray, Lord, for ministers everywhere, Father, that are finding themselves in a very different situation, Father, for perhaps the one that they came into the ministry for, Lord, many years ago. Just be with them. Guide us, Lord. Father, in the psalm it says that you will lead us into green pastures. Father, sometimes our definition of what the green pastures are different from your own. And we just pray, Lord, that you'll give us the faith to be guided by you. Lord, perhaps you're telling us and transforming, Father, your church into something different, Lord, something that you really want it to be. And we just pray, Lord, that we might be faithful to your calling, and we might hear, Lord, the voice of the shepherd speaking to us as you guide your church in these last days. Father, we ask these things in and through our Saviour's name. And Father, we just join together now to pray the prayer, the disciples' prayer that Jesus taught us together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Paul. And so our last hymn this morning together: Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, O God, my Father. Let's sing this together.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see, and all I have needed thy hands hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 besides. Hey. And great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Lord, every morning new mercies I see, and all I have needed thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, Lord.
Before we share the grace, I'm just going to share a poem with you, which is a blessing, written by Gerard Kelly, who you may have come across, who writes some very clever words, and these words are worship. This is called This God. This God who watches worlds sees my heart. This careful calculator, counting countless millions, counts me in. This artist whose canvas outstretches eternity at both ends, whose palette outshines planets, paints my portrait. This lover who dreams in universes dreams of me. This creator whose breadth of vision spans time and spawns a cosmos, whose woven tapestry of purpose, more compound than chaos, eclipsing complexity, rolls out like a highway through history, whose heartbeat deafens supernovas. This perfect parent kisses me. This playwright, playing with the deaths and entrances of stars, scripting the end from the beginning, knowing the purpose of the play, watches my feeble audition and writes me in. Amen to that. So let's bless one another with the grace as we end our worship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Amen.
Amen.